sorry, no, it's he.
Hi, family. My name is Lori. I'm an addict. I thought it was more readings than that. I'd like to thank the Chesapeake Potomac Region Convention Programming Committee for taking a real risk on me. This hasn't been a comfortable 3 months, and the last 2 days have been even more difficult. I don't like standing up here, so this is a leap of courage for me, I guess. I made sure I didn't practice, so I really don't have anything in my head, and that's probably why I really have nothing to think of. I'm just like getting a blank here, but I'm going to just tell my story and talk about my service, why me. When I got here, you know, I was 38 years old. I was an adult in all the sense of the outward appearance, but inside I was just a little girl. A very scared little girl. When I came in, I sat on the back row. I stayed on the back row for many years. But I got in service. Well, I got put in service as soon as I got here. So I've been in service since coming to NA. I just celebrated 13 years last month. And I need to say that a lot of things that I've done and I've participated in weren't of any of my doing. I didn't volunteer. I didn't ask to be in it. I'm in a group, a network that kind of puts you in place and you just do it because they did it and they stay clean. And that's worked for me because I came in and this is my first time here and I stayed because I did what they did and I've done what they've told me to do since I've been here. So the program does work if you follow the suggestions of your predecessors. I also took a leap of courage and got into a home group where they made me the chairperson, which is another big thing for me. I mess up every time. I don't say the readings right or something, but they don't say anything. They just keep on letting me go, and I just keep showing up with a speaker, and I'll have it together by the time that my year is over because I'm only going to do it for a year. I've also been in service on the area level, the group level, and H&I. H&I is where I found my home. Like I said, I came in here real confused, so me being a member of H&I has really helped me. I take a meeting into Melwood where they have women and children. And a lot of the young ladies that come in there are young. And I thank Narcotics Anonymous for raising the bottom that these women that are in there have chances that a lot of addicts before me didn't have. I mean, there's so much literature and so much information that if they're willing to make a change and open to following somebody's suggestion, that they can get some help and not go through a lot of things that other people had to go through. A lot of the babies that are in there are like 18 and 17 years old, and some of them already have 3 and 4 babies. And a lot of them are addicted to drugs that the drugs that I use, that they're using now, when I came up, I didn't know the people were addicted to them. And marijuana, you know, the behavior that they have now on marijuana is the behavior that people had that were on harder drugs today. I don't know what's going on with the marijuana, but something is definitely wrong. So I'm able to talk to them, and they're able to relate to me, and I think that part of it is because Narcotics Anonymous did raise the bottom, and I have so many not yets, and I'm totally grateful for that, that when I go in there and I talk about my story, my drug of choice is very familiar to them, so they can identify in, you know, and understand the pain and the road that I went through and understand the things that I didn't go through, but I am eligible too. There was this one incident, because this is about sharing. I mean, service, why me? And I need to be in service because I'm the type of addict that would think that I'm okay. Because people make me think that I'm okay. They look at the outside and they see something that I do not possess on the inside. So when I share about my shortcomings or my pain, they be like, you know, I don't see it. But it's there. I grew up not liking who I was. I didn't think I was dark enough. I didn't think I had enough of the urban attributes. And I grew up at a time where being light-skinned might have been nice with the guys, but it was not nice with the girls. So I went through a whole lot of, I don't know, altercations that were a direct result of skin color and not knowing me. People judged me by the way I looked and not by who I was. And I still experience that today. But today I've learned that I look at them as being sick people and unknowledgeable people. And if they really got to know me, they would see that I'm not who they think I am. And I've learned that here in Narcotics Anonymous. I've also learned here in Narcotics Anonymous that I don't have to react on everything that comes to my mind. I can think about things before I say it because I'm not a saint. I mean, I got a quick tongue too, and I can come back just as sharp as you can give it to me, but the difference with that is that after I do it, I hurt. It's just like sharing. After I share, I hurt. This is real painful for me, and I just share about me, but I don't know, maybe one day it'll stop hurting. I pray for that. I've cried since I've been here, and maybe that'll stop too. I don't know. They say sharing is cleansing, and so I try to share as much as I can, but I'm really good one-on-one, but when it's a group setting, it doesn't feel well. Well, no, whenever I share, it doesn't feel well, to be truthful. Up in front of people. I'm not reading anything for the people who want to know. This is how I do it. And if you have a problem, it's been suggested that you talk to your sponsor because this is my process and it's kept me clean for 13 years, so it must work for me. And that's how I do it. I did want to share about service, why me. I believe that I was, as I said, put in service at H&I, which I bucked. I didn't want to go to H&I in the beginning because I didn't want to be on everything that my sponsor was in. I was already in her home group. I was already on other committees she was on, so I didn't want to go to H&I. But what happened was I ended up getting hurt, and I could be the secretary for H&I, and I didn't really have to do much, so that's where I ended up being the secretary for H&I. And then I was unable to be the secretary for a while because I got hurt again. And so I started taking meetings in because someone was doing the secretary position. And I took them into Melwood. And there was this incident with this woman. And she was in her 20s. And she had told us in group that she wanted to commit suicide. And that she knew she could commit it because no one paid attention to you, and she had already planned it all out and everything, and it upset me. So I went and I spoke to my sponsor, and I spoke to my sponsor, because I am a informed member of Narcotics Anonymous. I make it my business to know about my position and what is my responsibility. And I know that when you go to H&I, that what you hear in H&I is supposed to stay in H&I, that it is a meeting, it is a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and that we are teaching these women and showing them how meetings are conducted on the outside. I don't do any cross-talking, and I make sure that whoever I take in, if I take someone in, that they share a clear in a meeting. I also, because I had gotten hurt a couple of times and wasn't networking like I could have, I started taking in speaker tapes from these conventions. So a lot of you who have spoke here, these women have been blessed to hear you, and it worked for us. So this one woman, as I said she wanted to kill herself, so I had to call my sponsor, and I'm like, well, what do I do about it? She said she wants to kill herself. And it was brought to my attention that, well, what you hear in the meeting has to stay in the meeting, and the women there have to be able to trust that they can say what they need to say to you or say in that meeting without any repercussion. But it still wasn't feeling well, so I was really upset about it because this woman, I mean, I was there. I felt it. I just really knew in my heart that this is what she wanted to do. I had been seeing her for a couple of weeks, and I could see that she was withdrawing. So I followed instructions. I didn't tell anybody at the facility, but, I talked to other people, as we all do, when we don't hear what we want to hear. So I talked to another addict, and they said, well, I remember when I was in treatment, if somebody said something in the meeting, it got back to the counselor. So trust me, as soon as you left there, the counselors knew what was going on with that woman. So, I got a little bit of comfort out of that. And then I called the next day just to make sure that everyone was okay, not saying why or what. I just said that, I was at a meeting, and, I just wanted to make sure that everybody was okay because it got emotional. And they said everybody was okay. And when I came back to the meeting, she wasn't there. But a couple of weeks later, she showed back up, and she left because her kids were being taken from her. And two had already been taken, and they were going to take these set of twins who she said she was getting herself clean for. And she said, if they take the twins, I'm just going to kill myself. So she left. And she came back, and the twins had been taken from her, but she was told that if she completed the program, that they would make sure that she got the twins back. So that was gratitude for me. And the gratitude for me being in service shows me that in spite of everything that I go through, somebody else is going through something worse than I am. And that if I can just show up and show them that I made it through and give them some hope that they can make it through too. It also helps to remind me that I'm not alone, because sometimes even when I'm in a group, I feel alone. But by me going there, I realized that I'm not alone, that these young ladies are hurting and they're in need of help just like I am. And basically, I think I get more from them going in than they do from me, because it's like when I leave there, I have all of this feeling of gratitude, and I'm just so refreshed because, but for the grace of God, there go I. Oh, wow, I really talked that long. So, I'm going to keep coming back. If you're new here, please give yourself a chance. You only have to do this one time. That's what I tell the ladies in the facility, that whatever you're going through now does get better. I've been moved from job to job without my permission. Every time I go take it to another level, I hope Sharon here will take me to another level.
Yeah.
Do things that you don't want to do and don't feel comfortable. I mean, I wanted to back out. I've been prayed on so many times earlier today. I don't know. Just give yourself a chance and try something one time. And if it doesn't work, you don't have to do it again. And you can tell them, Lori said so. Thanks for letting me share.
For the next speaker, I'd like to introduce Larry M. from the South Potomac area.
Hi, family. My name is Larry, and I'm an addict. And first, I always like to thank my higher power for another day clean, because I know that divine intervention is what got me here, and divine intervention is what keep me here. And when my friend Laurie called and asked me to share and do a workshop with her, and I know her fear of looking out into the audience, but she still managed to fight her fears, as we all do. I know I do, we have different ways of approaching that fear. But service-wise, it seems like it's a simple topic, but for me, I can share my experience, strength, and hope with it. Like Laurie was saying, it was given to me. I was told, I needed to get in service. And I know by the time I made it back to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous after getting in touch with NA back in 1989, I was in so much pain, I was just willing to do whatever was suggested. It wasn't like I came in, like the literature says, brimming with hope and love. And early on, at the time, I really didn't know how service work would play a part of, you know, May 23rd would hopefully be 13 years for me, too. But the point of it is it really was the power examples of others that really helped me in this process. And, you know, 13 years later, the service work is a lot different than what it was when I started out. So I try to share with you what it was like in the beginning. And I know that when I arrived, you know, I was real confused. I was in a lot of pain. And, you know, I started out being a coffee maker in my home group, which is still my home group today. And I learned about the home group structure through other members in the program who were my predecessors. And they began to tell us things. And then we had business meetings. So these were the earliest service positions I learned about was in my home group. And I understand now the value of being a part and playing a part of being in service, because someone only through God's grace was there for me when I came in who had set up the meetings, and I didn't know anything about what service was at that time. And so in the early stages, you know, a lot of information that was being shared was over my head. I just know I didn't want to use anymore. And by getting in service early, it helped me plan myself into the program and be involved with the process. Over time, I learned that as important as it is to work the steps, it's also important to listen to all the things that the predecessors had to say as far as getting in service, getting in a home group, as well as having a sponsor to help guide you through this process. And so, you know, it wasn't till later that people found out that I was an accountant. That was my profession. So later I became treasurer of my home group. And, you know, I always wanted to learn more about NA in terms of structure. So over time, I started doing service work at the service level, at the South Potomac area service level. And little did I know that as you seek out to do service work in other areas, things change a lot. And what I found out that just because we have steps and traditions, it doesn't always mean that I'm always doing what I need to do. And what I've experienced is in working with other people, it let me know just how much and how important it is before I step into these service commitment positions that I check in with my sponsor so he can give me a readout on where he think I am in fulfilling my commitment. And what I mean by that is you can't enforce the traditions on anyone. So, you know, you learn a lot about principles over personality and personality over principles. That's just part of the diversity of who we are as addicts. And so it was very difficult for me in the beginning, because as soon as I got mad with people, I just picked up my toys, want to go home. You know, I ain't got to do this. But the reality of it is that, you know, I had sponsors that helped guide me and helped me to understand that, you know, that the step work helped me to get in touch with who I was as a person and how I was trying to overcome this disease of addiction. And the traditions helped me to understand and deal with people in the rooms, the fellowship, and society at large. And part of my four-step work was always running when things didn't go my way. And, you know, and then having knowledge of accounting and coming back and forth in and out of the rooms and going through the service commitments that I was able to aspire to, I wanted to bring in things that just did not fit in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, the fact that you know, I manage billions of dollars. Well, that was all fine and well, but when I step in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I'm just another recovering addict. I love it in the literature when it talks about social acceptability, employability. Even though these things mean something, they have their place, but they do not equal recovery. And but moving into the area, which took me to a whole different level of trying to understand how to deal with a diverse group of people who were not always working on their step work. And, you know, and I was not always working on mine. But one of the things and the gratitude that, that came out of this is I got better. Because, you know, it was important for me to be able to understand what the service, why me, is all about. And for me, like I said, the pain that I was in and the fact that I was fighting for my life, and I knew a lot about how to get high and things that didn't work, I was forced into a fetal position of surrendering, so I was willing to do what was suggested. You hear the cliches about if you want what we have, you got to do what we do. Then at the point in time that I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I was willing to do just that. And sometimes, I must admit, it got very difficult. I wanted to quit, and I did quit, only to find myself showing back up again and fighting through it because one of the things that you guys have helped me to learn and I've grown to is the fact that everything begins and ends with me. And so I had to learn a lot about how, you know, to deal with other people based on where I was in my process of doing my step work. And a lot of things I thought I had worked on early, I found out in getting in various service positions that I still had problems, and I couldn't figure out why. So I would call and talk it over with my sponsor, and what he helped me to do is to find the step that best applied to that situation. I know that, you know, I after being at the area, I wanted to learn more about the structure of NA in terms of service work. So I had a sponsor who would take me with him when he went to the region. He was in charge. He was the chair of H&I, a guy named Kenny B. So he would call me up when he would go to the region meeting. I ain't know nothing about the region. But I found out, and I found out that they were just as crazy as the people in the area. I was like, oh, no. No, I don't want to. I'll stay at the area. But the bottom line is, you know, like I was sharing with someone I seen down in registration, he says, you know, he says, well, I'm just a glunt for punishment because we find some of the same people still serving even after this day, after the complaining, after the arguing, business meeting, they still find it in their heart to get back in service. So, you know, and I always love this about Mike W. Lloyd's brother. He would always share about how thanking God for allowing him to do what it is that, you know, I can't do for myself. That's changed me without my permission, you know. And over time, after 4 years in this process, Laura and I, we got involved with a convention, South Potomac, hosted a convention. And remember, we're still newbies in this process, so we don't know what all this means, you know. We just know that they say, oh, you got to get on one of these service committees. I said, okay. You know, so it was another form of service. But one of the things that I've learned in listening and reading the literature and I like and I begin to apply it in this process was the broader the base, the higher the points of freedom. And what I learned from that is it was important for me to get involved with the process in a way that other people could get to know me and I could get to know them. And furthermore, I could get to learn a little bit about just how well I was doing and how well I thought I was doing in my step work. And so a lot of things I always wanted to take in and go somewhere and hide with it. One of my home group members called it keeping secrets. So if I'm really working on something, I shouldn't have all this fear, but I still do. But I find it necessary as a part of my foundation to stay in service. And I always share this with the newcomers that the way I do it, I try to focus on, you know, the fact that this is a part of that gratitude speaks when I care and when I share with others in a way. I have to give it back because that's the way I've been taught and that's the way I've been raised in this program. And so for so long, I try to stay hidden just in my home group. Then I started going to other meetings. Then I started branching out into the area. And then eventually I started getting involved with the conventions. And as a matter of time, I got to know a whole lot more about this process of recovery through the experience, strength, and hope of those that aren't always at my home group, that aren't always at my area of service, that played a vital part in me learning a little bit more about Larry. And, you know, I ended up where everyone thinks it's so bad, but it really isn't, because, you know, I believe God has put us all in a position, even in the service work and the service commitment, so that His will would be done. And that's why we find ourselves, once again, with all the things that you probably hear about in the background of what went on at the host committee, what went on at the BOD and the region, with our 25th year anniversary celebration in this process of recovery. So what that tells me is that I've got to stay more in touch with my gratitude, with my higher power, for what I prayed and I asked Him for. I seen an old timer that told me a little story in his experience, strength, and hope sharing in one of the meetings. I'll try to share it with you guys. Hope that I get it right. But he was talking about this man who was drowning, and the man prayed out and asked God to help him. And God sent him a helicopter, and he turned it away. Sent him a big ship with divers, he turned that away. Sent him a raft, and he turned that away. And so, you know, what I was able to get from the message was the fact that I was in so much pain, I prayed and asked God for some help. But I didn't know how that help would come, and I wanted to define what that help was. That's why, you know, it took me 9 years to surrender. You know, when I first got in touch with the program, they said stay away from slipping people, places, and things. And I just felt like they didn't know what they were talking about, so I started going back around family members that used crack houses that I used in just to show them after 7 months how well I was doing. And the point of this is that the service, as I've learned in this process, was just as important as going to meetings, as sponsorship, as working the steps, as everything was, that it was presented to me. So the bottom line is, you know, they never told me to get out of service. So I do my service work in spite of, after doing 3 years of, I always call it being locked up in N.A., you know, I did a year in convention as treasurer, last time South Potomac hosted the convention. And it was going to a lot of meetings. And the one thing that I've learned out of certain levels of service that I realized that I still need to go to meetings for me, and I still need to call my sponsor and work on the steps, because a lot of times it's not the same setup as it is when going to a meeting. But, you know, after that, there are certain sort of traditions or certain ways in which things work. And so one of the requirements, not that it was mandatory, was that you rotate into the treasury position at the board of directors. We call it the BOD. Before it was over, I used to call it the board of dummies, which I was a part of. Through my frustrations, but in the end, I end up loving the service commitment and the growth that I was able to get, because, you know, if I don't place myself in a position, I really don't know how well I think I'm doing. And a lot of times when I want to sit in judgment of others, I try to focus on my own inventory and what my primary purpose is. And this is why, you know, service, why me? You know, when I look back at how much I prayed and I asked God to help me, why not me? This is just another form of growth and another form of being able to show my gratitude for what I asked God for. So, you know, today, tomorrow I'll be in service at this convention. I normally am asked to do something. As much as I want to say no, I found it in my heart to try to reach out and try to extend myself, because I know a lot goes on in holding down some of these service commitments. More importantly, it goes on because there are a lot of people who just have that fear about stepping up. And so, you know, I try to do what I can, mainly because I need the help. As much as it is that I need to set the power of example of not asking sponsees when I've had them to do what it is I'm not doing, I try to look at, you know, how this process of being in service helped me along the way. And, you know, as a result, you know, I've got to know people that I normally wouldn't have known, and I've learned some things about the NA structure, all the way to going to the World Convention. And since I always like the interest of money, even at the World, I want to know how what they're doing with the money. You know what I mean? So I was able to get their annual report and read up on what they were doing with the money, you know, because this is my life, this is what I believe in, and I wanted to learn everything about it. And some of the things I picked up really helped me at the World. I know that, you know, money can be a divisive issue, not only in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, but also in relationships as well. But I remember how, you know, we would go through a nice hour and a half spiritual setting and holding a meeting. Then we get to the business meeting, and they would suck it all up. I was like, oh, man, you know, go through a nice meeting, and then we get to the business meeting, then we argue about the money, you know. And but one of the things I learned from that, a lot was done, but we still end up coming back, doing the same things over and over, trying to look out for the newcomer. And things have changed over time. And, you know, what I mean by that, you know, 13 years later, you know, 20 years later, we passed the basket around, we put a dollar in there, and in the end, we want to stretch that dollar farther than where we go. And that's just the bottom line, you know. I know something was said at the World Convention that inspired me, that because I can and because it's in my heart, I choose to put $2 in the basket. That's just my choice, primarily because things have changed. We can call ourselves NA or whatever, but when it comes to this convention center, the funds that are raised through the donations of others and through fundraising events, it supports paying for things that we have to pay for, and we just have to be real about that. Even in our area, in our groups, the rent donations, at one point when I came in, it was $25. Now it's $50. Well, you know, the same dollar going in the basket is looking to pay for that increase, like all of a sudden it's going to grow at the same pace in which things that we know are necessary and being self-supporting. So what I've learned to do is just keep the focus on what I can do, you know what I mean? And what I remind my home groups are, because I'm the treasurer, we can't do no more than the money allows, so ain't no need no spending all night and getting upset at each other. You know, and there's a structure to that process where we set aside our prudent reserve, we pay for our rent so the church will still allow us to come and meet, and we do what we can to keep the literature inventory, and we donate the money to the area. And that's just basic, keeping it simple. And so what happens is, you know, this becomes a pattern over time where the newcomers, they're willing to step up. And the process, you know, of keep coming back, they begin to gain something. They start seeing how we're conducting ourselves, and they start taking on these responsibilities. But I realize that while I'm not responsible for my disease, the service work has helped me to be responsible for my recovery. You know, I too, Lori, try to get up in my head and memorize a lot of stuff that none of it I said today. I did see Dwight, so I try to remember his little story because I remember how important it was for me to listen to the experience, strength, and hope in others, and learning how to share and learning how to gain insight to this thing called recovery in different ways. And so I remember when I initially prayed and asked God for some help, I turned them away. Only through His grace and His mercy, I was able to find my way back to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous in 1998. And that's why I keep that out front. Be careful what we pray for. We just might get it. But once we get it, what do we do with it? Makes all the difference in the world. My name is Larry, and thanks for allowing me to share.